How many Christmas is your favorite? Christmas is great. It's my second favorite. I do like Christmas. I mean, yeah, it's wonderful. Honestly, it's wonderful. And we grow up with so many Christmas memories. And I think even as a kid with the presents and all, you know, you have a fun expectation for Christmas that is, it just kind of adds to it. And as you get older, you get to share that with your kids. And then it just lasts with that holiday. It's a good holiday. It's my second favorite. And it's important because the world needed Christmas. We needed that day. I mean, the world was hopeless. It was horrible. And God, in his grace, he came to a horribly miserable world where people were just clawing for relevance and importance, and so many just clawing for survival. I mean, you think about the way the world was. It was horrible. I mean, the world was in poverty and torment, and ruthless warlords ruled the world, and all you could barely do is scrape by and just hope in the middle of all the violence and the abuse and slavery that you didn't have to endure all that. People needed it. Sin reigned. There's no hope. They tried to follow all the rules, like I mentioned earlier, but, you know, deep inside, it's not just the rules. It's that we are ruled by, you know, anger and lust and jealousy and envy, and we want what we want, and we want to do it our own way, and cheating and selfishness. It's like we got all these things working against us. It was a dark time. But God, who created us for relationship, he did what we couldn't do. And he knew we couldn't do it on our own. So that's one of the beautiful things that separates Christianity from every other faith, is that in every other faith, we're working hard, clawing, climbing, whatever analogy you want to use, but trying to get to God or get good enough. And God knows we can't, so he comes to us. Most of you are familiar with the story of the prodigal son. That's one of the beautiful parts of that story, is the son who leaves his father, and then when he comes back, the father's waiting, looking, and runs to the son. That just chokes me up thinking about it. A God who didn't have to do that. He didn't deserve to have to do that. I mean, we are the ones who sinned and went away, and yet he runs to us. And then we couldn't fight our way to God, but then he provides the sacrifice. It's incredible, because no amount of good deeds are going to do it. Most every religion has this idea of karma, right? That if you do enough good things, it'll outweigh the bad. And we kind of play with that all the time, at least in our own minds. You know, we think, yeah, I did that, but then I've done all these good things. And if I were to ask you if you were good, usually you would probably kind of weigh it out in your mind, and you would think, well, I'm mostly good, as if that's good enough. And you know, it's not. You can't be mostly good. It's like being pregnant. Either you are or you're not. It's not like I'm partly pregnant. I'm almost pregnant. Or I might be pregnant. It's you are or you're not. I don't know about you guys, but I know when my wife was pregnant with every child, we should have got stock in the whole stick thing. You guys know what I'm talking about? Because you just keep doing them over and over. Are you pregnant? I don't know. Let's wait for whatever it is. Right? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? You act like you don't know what I'm talking about. For every child, we've got like 10 of them. And then you are or you're not, right? And that's the thing about sin in our lives, because it's not like you could be good enough. It's not like you're ever going to take a time where you're going to go in front of God and say, I am pretty good or mostly good. It doesn't work that way, because the standard is actually perfection. And none of us are that good. None of us. And I've said this before, there's some really good people here. I mean, good people. You know what I'm talking about? The kind of people that when you think about a good person, or you think about somebody who's close to God, you know who you just thought of, right? You thought of somebody, and it probably wasn't you. It was probably a grandma or somebody you know is good, because you know they're good. But the truth is, you only know this much of them, and you know the part you know, and the part you know is good, but really the whole person, where none of us are perfect. As much as I would love to think that about all of you, and pretty much I do, I'm an optimist, I think you're good, but we're not, I know we're not. Most religions, it's all just behavior modification. Act like this, do this, try harder. Work your way to God. But we're all left hopeless. And we are hopeless until God came to us. And that's why Christmas is a great holiday, because he came to us. And he did come to us. And that's why it's my second favorite holiday, because he did come to us. And he did. And he came in the form of a baby, and he came in a mind-blowing way. A mind-blowing way, if you think about. I like to do this, and normally we talk about this at Christmas, and I know it's Easter, and you're like, get to Easter. Well, I will. I'm still talking about the second favorite holiday, because we needed God to come to us, and he did. And he came to us in such a not human way. And what I mean by that is if we're all being honest, I think you would agree with me that if you were God and you were going to come to this earth that you created and you told people how to live and they weren't doing it, and then in a lot of cases they were raising their fist to you and saying, I'm doing it my own way and I'm going to do this, and they're taking advantage of all the other loving creations you made and they're hurting people, well, how would you come to earth? Not like a baby, not like a helpless baby in an obscure little village to poor couple who... You would not come that way. You would be like me, I think. I think you're like me, right? Where's John Harris? Where is he at? I would come like the ultimate warrior, right? Does anybody know who that is? In his prime, not today. I just saw a video of him this week. That's what made me think of it. And I thought, wow, we all get old. So, but I was never as into wrestling as other people, but if you know who I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe if you don't know what I'm talking about, you know who Thor is, right? Not fat Thor, the good Thor, right? I would come like that, like absolutely perfect, right? Perfect body, I mean just, and like Thor, I would come being able to zap anybody who did wrong. And anybody I saw doing something to somebody else, zap, they're done, right? And you could force people to bow in front of you and live right and do it right, or I am after you. Not really, that's not my heart. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't have come like a baby. Wouldn't you have come in some big procession, maybe light up the whole universe? I mean, we have things now happen. I mean, with the internet and everything, I mean, boom, you know what happened. Do you think those girls really went to space, by the way? I mean, is that really a thing? But stuff like that, I mean, wouldn't you just come, like maybe float down in some big thing where everybody's like, oh my goodness, it's God. And then you would say, yes, it is, and bow. And again, that's not really my heart, but I wouldn't come like a baby. But our God is a God unlike a human. He doesn't think like us. He doesn't do things like us. He does things in such a way that it completely flips the script. It's completely surprising. And he does it in a way that you step back and you're like, oh, of course that's the right way to come to earth. Because what he did when he came in such a way that every single person in all the earth can relate to him. I mean, if he came already like the president of the universe, then you'd have to be political and in politics. And some of you may be into that and wonderful, but most of us can't relate to that. He didn't come like some rich person that has every need met and people fawning over him and every single thing, you know, like you see those old pictures of some guy laying there, some fat, happy dude with people feeding him grapes. That's not our God. He came in such a way that every single person could relate to that helpless, poor baby. Every single one of us. That's how he came. That's why Christmas is my second favorite holiday. I love it. I love that he came like that. Because all of us can relate to him, and not one person can say he's too good for me or better than me. He's just like me and just like you. And he didn't come forcing people because he wanted a free will choice. He wanted humanity to choose. So he came in a way that you could ignore him if you want, and you can act like Christmas is all about the presents and Santa and all that, or you can acknowledge the fact that a real God came to a real people in a real body as a baby that all of us could relate to. So you can overlook him if you want and act like that's not about that, or you can realize it is about that. That's how he came. And he did it at just the right time. Paul in the book of Romans, Paul, one of the greatest apostles of all time, we'll talk about him in a minute, but he wrote this book to a church in Rome, and he had never been there. So since he'd never been there, he laid out the gospel in probably the most complete form in the entire New Testament. And I know it's weird to us as Christians, because if you've been at church a long time, you know all these verses. Do you know there were no Bible verses till just recently? I mean, just in the last few hundred years. Which sounds crazy. We're like, what? What did they do before? Well, maybe they read the whole letter. Have you ever done that before? Do you get a letter from somebody and just read little parts? No, you read the whole thing. And so he makes this incredible argument for Christianity. And as part of it, you thought we were going to read the whole thing. Somebody thought, wait, he's going to read the whole thing? No, I'm not. But listen to what he says. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He did it when we weren't even noticing still. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Friends of God. That still blows my mind. All these years, I've been a Christian my entire life. I've walked with Christ. The idea that the God of the universe would be my friend. It almost seems sacrilegious to me. It almost seems like it's not right to say it that way. Friends of God, that he would be our friend. But that's what he wants. That's why he pursued us. That's why he did all of this. And that's why Easter is my favorite holiday. It has nothing to do with bunnies and eggs. And I don't even like hard-boiled eggs. Anybody like those for real? I'm just kidding. I know you do. I have this distinct memory hunting for eggs. And I opened one. I was a little kid. And it tasted so horrible that I started crying. And then I couldn't see where I was. And there's all these strangers, you know, like people being nice. Little boy, where's your mom? Like, I don't know. I can't see. And you realize Easter's why he came? I know it's hard to think about, but that baby in the manger came to die. That baby in the manger had a purpose in life. And it always amazes me when people act like, well, he was a good man. He was a good preacher. I mean, he did good things. He said wonderful things. He's a good person. I'm like, yeah, that's not it. That's part of it, but that's not it. He literally came to die. I don't use that word very much, literally, because it's overused. He came to die. And that's why Easter's my favorite holiday. It's not for candy. I don't even eat candy. It's about him. It's about his purpose, his mission fulfilled. It's the reason Easter exists. And why does it matter? Here's why it matters. I'm going to give you three reasons it matters today. The first reason is this. It matters because you matter. You matter. And it's not about ego. And you know how some people are like, well, of course I matter. Duh, it's me. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I don't want you to have an unhealthy ego. I also don't want you to have a no ego. You matter. And what I want you to do is have an understanding that you matter. It's why he came, you. I know for some people they struggle with identity, or maybe they struggle with the idea that they do matter. Maybe a human relationship has made you question that. Maybe someone has broken trust with you, or maybe somebody has, this is sad, but maybe told you you didn't matter, or maybe by their actions told you you didn't matter, but you do. You matter to the King of the universe. Literally, he came for you, and he came to die for you, and the reason Easter matters is because you matter. You matter to God. He created you in a way that is unique. He created you because you matter, and he wanted a relationship with you. It still blows my mind how unique the human body is and how different we all are. And I'm fascinated by it. I'm fascinated by all the genetics. I'm fascinated by the fact that we all have different fingerprints. Have you seen how fingerprints are made? I mean, they can look in the womb and watch a baby develop and see how the skin just kind of bunches up and it swirls and boom, just you. That's amazing. You know, your retinas are all different. I mean, it's so many things that we are just different. I know it sounds crazy, and I am a geek. I don't mind admitting it. I just am amazed by what God does. Do you know the pattern on your tongue is unique? Don't go looking right now. I'm just saying that it's unique. They don't do tongue prints per se, but they're unique. They are. It's fascinating. Your ears are too. It's unique to you. No one else has your ears. I know it sounds crazy. It's crazy. Your face structure, your gait, the way you walk. And you know that because you can see somebody walking from a distance and go, oh, there's Jason. I know his, and you don't even think about it. Your mind just catalogs his stuff and like, that's him. Think about what God does. The Bible puts it differently, more elegantly. It says every hair of your head is numbered. God knows even the details that most of us don't even think about. And I know somebody's laughing. I saw you laughing like, well, yeah, you have no hair. I get it. It's easy for you. I saw someone laugh at me, and that's fine. I got that. There is some up there. I shave it every day. It's not a big deal. The point is, he knows you. He knows you intimately, and he did this for you. Why Easter matters? You matter. Easter matters because you matter. Even at the moment of conception, God knew you. He formed you with a plan for you. You are a unique creation of God that matters. The book of Psalms is such a beautiful psalm. It talks of how God knew us before we were even born, and you're on his mind. I just want to read this to you. You made, talking about God, all the delicate inner parts of my body, knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. You matter. Easter matters because you matter. Second thing is this. Easter matters because it means that we get to live with Jesus forever. Do you realize when he rose? I mean, we left the cross here because it's beautiful and just seeing that the symbolism there. But do you realize that because he rose from the dead, we all raised from the dead too? And because he rose from the dead, it verified and validated everything he said. He predicted his death. He said 3 days. He rose in 3 days. I heard this said one time and it made me chuckle. He said, I don't know about you, but if someone predicts his death and predicts his resurrection and does it, I'm going to listen to him. Right. I'm going to listen to that guy. And he said that you too will raise. Hallelujah. We have a future with him because of this. I usually use this passage in funerals, and it's appropriate. But the same Paul wrote this to the church in Corinth. He said, if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Christ has not been risen either. It's a little bit of a tongue twister, but stay with me. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless and we apostles would all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there's no resurrection from the dead. And if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, you have died believing in Christ are all lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, then we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. And it doesn't end there. I love the next line. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of the great harvest of all who have died. Yes. Do you realize that every sermon in the New Testament is about the resurrection? You know why? Because they just saw it. It just happened. And they kept pointing it out to everybody. And in fact, in one case, they said, and there's 500 people who saw him alive at one time. And they say, most of them are still alive. Go talk to them. Never refuted. Why? Because it happened. So exciting. God created us for a relationship. Our sins separated. He pursued relationship with us. Because you matter, he did that. And then because of Easter, we all get to live with him and share the mission. I don't know who's playing on the keys with me, but if you'd come up here with me to help close the service, that'd be awesome. Easter matters because you matter. Easter matters because we get to share eternity with Jesus. And Easter matters because we're supposed to tell people about it. That's the whole point. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, one of the last things he told his followers, the ones he'd trained to continue on his mission is, now you need to go tell everybody. And they did. And the entire world changed. that dark, horrible world filled with abuse and horrible things changed. It changed. It changed because of this message. This message changed the world. This message ended, it ended Rome ultimately, because Rome was built on slavery. It ended slavery. It ended the idea of just leaving babies out to die. They took them in. It ended orphans and widows being not cared for. They cared for them. It ended people being selfish and just doing things for themselves, because this changed everything. This is how Paul again wrote in another letter to that church in Corinth. He said this: "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." I read this week and it cracked me up. It said, being a Christian isn't like a DIY project. I like DIY, it's fun, sometimes. Anybody else like me too? You do a project and it's supposed to take 20 minutes and it's 3 days. Then I broke this and I broke this and I broke this and then it's, yeah. You can't DIY you, you can't. There's a lot you can do and you need to participate. I'm not saying it's not all you, or not you, but it's not all you. He works in you. It says right here, your life, when it belongs to Christ, you become a new person. And it's not just a DIY where you try to fix you. Instead, he changes you, and then you become part of a group like this who walk with you, and he works on you and changes you, and it's a miraculous thing. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. That same God that pursued and ran to the prodigal son and ran to you does this for you. And God has given us, this is the part, this task of reconciling people to him. He wants you to participate in this. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against him. And then he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. We represent him everywhere. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. You get to do this. Why Easter matters? Easter matters because you matter. Why Easter matters? It matters because you get to live with Jesus forever. And Easter matters because now you join the team and you have become representatives of God and you share this message with everybody. Everybody. The resurrection is incredible. That song we sang right after the welcome, "There Is Nobody." Don't you love that song? Nobody could do it because there's nobody. There was nobody in the tomb. All they had to do was show a body, but they couldn't because there was nobody. That would have ended Christianity right then and there. But the fact is, there's nobody. Jesus was right. And he proved he was right. And he conquered death in the grave. And because of that, we have new life. We have new life. I want you to shut your eyes for a second, everybody in the room. I ask people to do this. Some people are like, "Pastor Dennis, you do that every week." Yes, I do. I do. I do it because I want you to have a sense of being a private conversation, just you and my voice for just a minute. I don't know where you're at with God. I don't know if maybe you've considered it before or thought about it. Maybe today's the day where something that I said, the Holy Spirit, the God of the universe, who is pursuing a relationship with you, said to you, "Yeah, that's you today." And maybe today it makes sense for some reason. I don't know. Maybe that coin just dropped and it makes sense today. And if that's you, we just want to pray with you. That is it. I want to invite you to join this God who's pursued you from the day you were created, for the moment of your conception. This God has known you and wanted a relationship with you and pursued it with you. Maybe you've avoided it your whole life, or maybe just part of your life. Maybe you've been with him, but you need to return. Whatever it is, we just want to pray with you. And it'd be a simple prayer, acknowledging the fact that you've done things that are wrong. You're not perfect. He is. He paid the price. And you want that applied to your life. That is it. And then you start that new life. Trade your way for his way. It's that simple. Anybody at all like that? You just raise your hand. I want to do that today. Just be honest with you and God and say that. I see that hand. I appreciate that. Anybody else join these guys? Anybody else? I'll pause for a minute because it's super important. All right, people are pointing. I see another hand. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. I do see that. a dear lady at church shared this idea with me for an altar call. I want to share it with you with your eyes closed. Just think about this. It might be you. I don't know if you've ever ridden a horse before, but when you walk up to the horse, it's kind of scary at first. It's a powerful animal. You're excited, but you're also kind of afraid. And coming to Christ can be like that, where you're a little afraid, like, what is he going to make me change? What's he going to do to me? What do I have to give up? I just want to challenge you. If you're feeling that way today, you do give up. What you do give up is self. You give up selfishness. You give up a lot of things. But what you gain is way better. Way, way better. You know what else you give up? You give up being alone. And then whatever you walk through, you have the God of the universe right with you all the time. Anybody else want to raise your hand and you want that to be you? Anybody at all? All right, before we pray, I want to ask one more question. I don't know if you're sitting here, maybe you didn't realize that you're on the team. You're supposed to be the ambassador too. And I don't know if you're headed out of here and maybe having lunch with family, or you're gonna see people who don't know Jesus. I just wanna challenge you. Would you share that with them today? Let God do it. He'll orchestrate it. He'll work it out. There'll be a point in the conversation and you're like, that's it. That's what Pastor Dennis was talking about. And then I don't know what you're gonna say. It might be something from what I said today, or it might be a question. It might be whatever, but God is gonna use you today if you'll let him. Who here is willing to let God use you if he'll do it? He'll orchestrate it. He'll set it up. I see those hands. He will do it. All right. Let's pray. I want to have you stand if you would. And I know it's Easter and people got places to go, but we want to pray with you if you need prayer for anything at all. If you are board or staff, or if you are a spouse of them, and help us pray today, if you would just come forward. And I want to encourage you, if you need prayer for anything, maybe something came up today and maybe you got some bad news. Maybe it's just you need someone to share whatever it is you're carrying. We want to pray with you today. And that's why these people are up here. As I pray and lead everybody in prayer, that'd be the perfect time for you just to slip out and walk down and tell them what you need prayer for, and they will pray with you. People are already coming for prayer, and that's what we want. We want to pray with you. But let's do this. Everybody in the crowd, if you would just bow your heads, and I want you to repeat after me, and especially those of you who raised your hands for salvation, if you would pray this and mean it with all your heart. We'll all pray with you, join you in that prayer, but I want those of you who raised your hand to just mean this today, and life will be different. It will be different. So just everybody in the room, if you would just repeat this with me. Father God, thank you for loving me. Thank you that I matter. I'm sorry for what I've done that's wrong. I know I'm not perfect. Thank you for Jesus' sacrifice. Thank you that he paid the price for me. I want my life to be different. Change me and make me new. Amen. Amen. And let me just pray for everybody as I send you out of here today. Father, I'm grateful for this church. I'm grateful for everybody here. I'm grateful for the new faces. I'm grateful for the faces that we've known and loved for a long time. And I pray that you would especially bless them as they head out of here, that as they celebrate Easter with family and friends, that you would use them as ambassadors in a new way today. God, we're grateful that we matter. We're grateful that we get to live with you forever. And we're grateful that you would trust us to take this message to the world. And I pray that you would use us in every way that way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Happy Resurrection Day. God bless you as you head out of here. I hope you get to share with a lot of people today.